Obviously, attendance is an issue that needs to be preached on occasionally. And I want us to touch on that this morning by asking ourselves the question, what are you missing? When we don't assemble together with the saints, what are we missing out on? And we're going to look back at the scriptures at some times when the saints assembled and some things that happened with them, and some things then that we'll talk about, things that happen with us today as well, that we miss out on if we're not together at those times. So what are you missing? We want to consider that. Just as a way to lighten the mood a little bit, a fella showed up to the gate there, and Peter, looking at the book, he says, actually, you had a great life, but you were looking down at your phone and you missed it. And sometimes we miss things. I was actually looking for a picture for the background. Never could find what I was looking for. Something to show that, you know, sometimes somebody missed something big, something exciting, something really amazing that happened, and they missed it because they weren't there, because they were looking the other way, or this kind of thing. Couldn't find the right picture, so we just went with the big event. It's a big event when the saints get together to share in fellowship and in worship of our Savior and our God. And we want to enjoy that time together. We don't want our time together to feel like it's a burden. We don't want to say, well, I got to go to church again. We don't want it to be something that we dread, and that we're miserable having to go there. We want it to be something where we're uplifted and encouraged. We want to be like David, who said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Unfortunately, sometimes we do feel it more a drudgery and more a, well, I gotta go, than seeing the excitement and the joy that comes from being together. And not just for the worship on Sunday morning, but for Bible class on Sunday morning, for Sunday night, for Wednesday night Bible classes. These are all times where we can get together and benefit. And we want to look at some of the things that we miss out on when we're not there. So our lead statement as we introduce each thought will be, when Christians are not gathered with the saints, they risk missing some things. So whenever the saints are gathering together and we're not there, and it applies, you know, obviously we all know there are times where we can't be there. We're sick, we're out of town, you know, sometimes people have work schedules that are beyond their control, things like that. You know, there are times where we just can't be there, and that's understandable. We all know that. We all expect that. But even when it's unavoidable, we still are missing those things that happen. But whenever we're not with the saints, when they're gathered together, we risk missing some things. And first of all, we risk missing being with Jesus. We don't think about it sometimes because, as the song that we sang just a minute ago, hand in hand I walk with Him each day. And so we think, well, Jesus is always with me. And certainly that is true. God is with us. Jesus is with us. He's always there. But there's a special way that Jesus is with us when we gather together to worship. And it's more than just the way that He's with us in the car on the way home, or the way that He's with us at the house or out at the park or wherever we may be. It's different. And we miss out on that. In the Bible, we see that happening after His resurrection in John 20, beginning in verse 19, the scripture that Wes read for us just a little while ago. And we see that on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, notice that, this wasn't the Sunday morning service. This was the evening. The disciples were together in the evening, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Wouldn't that be exciting? Now, I know, we don't expect Jesus. It would be surprising, wouldn't it? But we don't expect Jesus to come and stand in the midst of us and say, peace be to you. And yet, even though not physically, in a very real sense, He's with us when we gather together to worship, when we gather together to encourage each other and uplift each other and to alleviate one another's fears. The disciples were very afraid, and so they were gathered together. You know, the old saying, there's strength in numbers, so they wanted to be together. And we should want to be together as well. But He said, peace be with you. And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. What would that have been like? To get to see the Lord after His resurrection, to see His hands and His side. And he said to them again, peace be with you. They were glad when they saw the Lord at the end of verse 20. They were glad. We should be glad too when we have the opportunity to see the face of Christ in a brother or sister, to see someone else showing God's love toward us. And then He said, peace be with you, as my Father sent me, so I'm sending you. He said this, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit, which they were going to do in a few days, a few weeks. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. He missed out because he wasn't with them. Now the Bible doesn't say he was a sinner and Jesus condemned him for not being there or anything like that. But it says he missed this. He wasn't there. He could have been there. He could have enjoyed this opportunity. And what things do we sometimes miss? Because we're not there. And then the other disciples told him that they had seen the Lord. He said, unless I see, I won't believe it. And so then, 8 days later, again, the first day of the next week then, they were together again. And this time, Thomas wasn't going to miss it again. He was with them this time. And he made sure that he... And now, was there a promise that, hey, if you're with them next week, Jesus is going to show up again? No. There was no guarantee. But Thomas realized that he missed out. And he wanted to be there. And he was there this time. And Jesus did appear to them. He stood among them again and said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, put your hand in my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe. You see, by being there the first time, the 10, because Judas was gone already, and of course Thomas wasn't there, so the 10 believed. They had a chance to have their faith strengthened by being together and being with Jesus. Thomas missed out on that time. He came back the next time, and he got to see Jesus, and his faith was strengthened by that. That's one of the things that occurs when we gather together, is our faith can be strengthened. And then he goes on to say, you've believed because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet they believe. And we think about Jesus encouraging us, even though we're not seeing Jesus with our eyes, yet we know that he is here with us when we come together to worship Him and to worship the Father. But we also want to realize that not only do we miss the chance to be with Jesus if we're not together with the saints, we also, when Christians are not gathered with the saints, they risk missing out on receiving spiritual blessings and gifts. Now in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, the apostles received miraculous gifts. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit in a powerful way as they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And again, the first day of the week. This is a Sunday gathering. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now what if they'd have missed out on that day? What if Thomas hadn't been with them on that day? Oh, how much more he would have missed in this occasion as well. Now we know, we said, well, we're not going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's not going to be all this happen to us. Yes, but there are spiritual blessings and gifts that we receive by being together. The encouragement that we receive, the opportunity to share together, to know that we're not alone, the opportunity to sing and to hear others sing praises to God and songs that encourage us and uplift us, the opportunity to have these special spiritual blessings of joy and comfort and peace. I don't know about you, but there's probably not a time in my week that I'm more at peace than when I'm together with the saints and we're singing a song or someone is leading us in prayer or we're observing the Lord's Supper as we did a little while ago. Kind of feel like that old song, I got a peaceful, easy feeling. Easy like Sunday morning, isn't it? But it doesn't have to just be on Sunday morning. Anytime the saints are gathered together, we can have those feelings. We can have peace. We can have a spiritual benefit from it. Just like eating gives us physical strength, spiritual eating gives us spiritual strength. And that's something that can be a blessing to us. We can also receive gifts from one another as we speak to one another. And I'm not talking about actually. I think today is going to get some gifts after church. But that's not the kind of gifts I'm even talking about. We benefit from being together. It's a gift when somebody smiles at us and says hello and good to see you again. It's a gift. It's not a miraculous gift like the apostles got. But boy, sometimes it can sure feel like a miracle. Because there are times, I know, where people have come, they weren't feeling well, they almost didn't come because I'm just not feeling. And then they came, and they were encouraged, and felt better from having been together with the saints. It is a strengthening and a benefiting and a blessing to be together. Paul talks many times to churches in his letters about how he desires to see them. You know, Paul traveled. He wasn't at, you know, he wasn't always at a home congregation every week. He traveled here and there and yonder, and he was kind of like a missionary, you know, traveling around from church to church. In the process of that, though, he would say to some of those churches, "I'm looking forward to seeing you again, so that we can be benefited by our faith." That we can be built up together, that we can be encouraged, that we can be strengthened, that I can impart a gift to you and you a gift to me, and that we can share our joy together of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And he used a lot of different kinds of language to describe those feelings to various different churches and individuals even, about how special it would be when he got to see them again. We think about sometimes our lost loved ones and how much we miss them being here. We think sometimes about those loved ones that we have that have passed on and how much we miss them. And we look forward to getting to heaven to see them again. And we think, oh, what a joy that will be. And yet we should think as well on Monday morning, oh, what a joy it'll be to see the saints again. Unfortunately, in some churches, and I certainly hope it's not the case with anyone here, but I know in some churches people dread going to church because it's not a joyful experience. And that's sad. It certainly shouldn't be that way, but it is sometimes. But we should look forward to those times when we can be together, when we can enjoy one another's company and enjoy the spiritual blessings that come from being together as the body of Christ. that go beyond the experience that we have. And we say, well, I can sing a song at home. Yeah, we can. If you're like me, though, it doesn't sound nearly as good if you sing it at home as it does when you're with some other folks that know how to sing. They say, well, I can do my Bible reading and Bible study by myself, and you should. But there's just something different about doing it alone and coming together where people share together their thoughts and their insights and their wisdom that they've learned from their study of the Scriptures. There are benefits. There are gifts to that. We also need to realize that when Christians are not gathered with the saints, they risk missing out on enjoying fellowship and special opportunities. We have a special opportunity and a fellowship today plan. That's where we're having our fellowship meal that we do every first Sunday of the month. We also are honoring one of our graduates who's graduated from high school, and that's a special opportunity that we have today. But there are other times where we have special opportunities and have the opportunity to enjoy fellowship together. In Acts chapter 20 and verses 6 and 7, Luke says, "We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days we came to them at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight." That was a special opportunity. They didn't get to hear Paul preach every Sunday. That was a unique opportunity. They didn't get to be with Paul for a period of time like that. That was a unique opportunity. Sometimes we have special events. We had the Reach campaign last month. Or I guess it's a little more than a month ago because it's back in April now. But you know, there are things that happen. Churches have gospel meetings. They have special events, special opportunities to do things. We have our Vacation Bible School be coming up in another month or so. There are lots of things where we have the opportunity to enjoy some fellowship, and it's something special that's more than just the run-of-the-mill thing that happens. In this case, then, we see in verse 11, when Paul had gone up, had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while, even until daybreak, and then departed. So he spent the whole night with them. And what a special event that was. Now, I know some of us wouldn't be able to make it through the night. We'd be like Eutychus there and fall asleep. That's why we don't have any upstairs windows, so that we wouldn't have something like that happen. But we've got to realize, we have an opportunity to enjoy more fellowship. And we're missing out on that sometimes when we're not together with the saints. We also realize that Christians that aren't together with the saints miss out on seeing someone raised from the dead. So, well, wait a minute now, we're not going to have anybody raised from the dead. But yes, sometimes spiritually we do. It may be someone who's not a Christian who is baptized, and we may miss out on that if we're not there. It may be someone who has fallen away and is restored back to spiritual life, and we miss out on that if we're not there. Oh, sure, we can read about it in the bulletin or get the email announcement or hear about it from somebody that calls us or something like that. Yeah, we can hear about it. But it's not quite the same as being there when those things occur. In Acts chapter 20, the church there got to see that happen in a physical way, not a spiritual way. We spoke of Eutychus a minute ago. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, he said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." You think about that for a minute. What kind of experience would that have been? And I know we say, maybe that's why we don't. We say, well, We don't get to have the really cool stuff like happened in the Bible times happen. We don't get to see somebody healed or a demon cast out or somebody raised back from the dead. So, not missing anything big. But let me tell you, when we have a response to the invitation, whether it be somebody who wants to be baptized or whether it be somebody who comes because of sin in their life and they're needing to repent of that and have prayers of the church, that's more exciting to see someone who was dead spiritually have spiritual life brought to them than to see somebody who's physically dead have physical life brought to them. It's more far-reaching in its implications. It goes further because it's of internal significance. Yes, Paul raised Eutychus from the dead, but you know what? A few years down the road, Eutychus died again. But when someone comes to life spiritually, when they're born again and they're born into the family of God, they don't have to ever die again. Spiritual life is eternal. And then we want to notice finally that another thing that Christians miss out on when they're not together is a chance to learn, to have questions answered, to understand more of the Scriptures. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul writes to the Colossians and says, "And when this letter has been read among you," so they were going to read Paul's letter. They were going to read the Scriptures. They said, "Well, I can read the Scriptures at home." Yeah, there's something again about being together when we do that. So when you've had it read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Now, I know we don't have new letters from the apostles being sent to us. Wouldn't that be something? If we get a letter from Paul and say, "Hey, read this letter, and when you're done with it, send it to Ella J. and make sure you get Ella J.'s letter and read it there too." Or, you know, that'd be great, wouldn't it? How exciting that would have been. But you know what? If they weren't there, they missed it. That would have been something to miss, wouldn't it? Wouldn't want to miss out on something like that. 1 Thessalonians 5:27 too says, "I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers." I bet the sisters too. But you know, read it to everybody. Read it to all of them, he says to the Thessalonians. An opportunity to learn. An opportunity to have a question answered. I made a little list of things, and I guess maybe I should throw Sunday morning class in there as well. If the only time that you gather with us is for this time, this 1 hour of worship, you're getting, I hope, some great benefits from that. I hope it's a blessing. I hope you're receiving some things spiritually that are uplifting and encouraging. But don't let that be all. You're missing out on some other things. In our Sunday morning class this year, just in the past 5 months, we've studied about Job. We've studied about some of the Psalms. We've studied some of the Proverbs. This morning we studied some about Ecclesiastes. Before that, we studied about the preaching of Jesus, of John the Baptist, of Stephen, of Paul, of Peter. We studied about the preaching and the purpose of preaching and some of their sermons and what they accomplished with those sermons. And you missed all that if you weren't here. Sunday nights, we've studied about what the Bible says about alcohol and studying to know God the Father better, studying to know Jesus, who Jesus is, learning how to study the Bible for ourselves, looking at figures of speech in the Bible and figurative language and how to understand it better, studying to know who the Holy Spirit is, looking at the time period between Malachi and Matthew and the intertestamental period and what happened during that time, looking at what mothers ought to be and fasting. We had a series on fasting as well. Fasting in the Old Testament, New Testament, and whether we should do it today, and so forth. All of those things. In our Wednesday night classes, we studied about traditions, and we've studied about the beings in the spiritual realm, angels. What's the difference in a cherubim and a seraphim? We studied about the devil and his demons. We studied about the angel of the Lord. We studied all those things on Wednesday nights. Missed out on those if you weren't here. We're fixing to start this Wednesday night a new study in Revelation. That's an exciting one too. We'd really love for more to come and enjoy that study and understanding a book that is so often misunderstood and that is sometimes considered difficult to understand. All of these things, opportunities in a Bible class to ask a question about something that we've wondered about, an opportunity to hear other people's wisdom as they give their insight into things that we may not have realized, or to see another person's perspective on something that we thought we understood already, but you know, wow, I've never heard it from that point of view. I've never thought about it that way before. And we have that opportunity in Bible classes to discuss things together. Now, I know it probably doesn't seem like it should matter to me because I get to talk a lot either way, whether I'm preaching or whether I'm teaching class. You know what I find? As the preacher, I benefit more from the classes than I do from the preaching. Because the preaching is just the things I've studied for myself. In the classes, I have what I've studied for myself to teach the class, but also I get to have feedback and people tell things and ask questions and discuss things. That's even better, because then I get to learn more than just what I already studied and learned for myself. I get to learn what other people studied and learned. And that's a blessing to me. Unfortunately, the less people there are in that Bible class, the less of the other perspectives I get. So the more there are, the better it benefits me. I'm not selfish, really. I'm not. But I'd love for everybody to be and share together. But I want us to think about that. What are we missing when we're not together with the saints? Not on this list, but also something important for us to think about is we miss the opportunity to be an example and an encouragement to other people. We miss the chance not only, we talked about, you know, being encouraged and getting gifts, receiving, but you know, the Lord said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We miss the opportunity to give the gifts and to give the blessings to others. To be an example and to be an encouragement, to help strengthen someone else's faith. As great as it is to have our own faith strengthened, it's even better to be part of strengthening someone else. Helping a young Christian to grow. Helping an older Christian to make a correction in their life. Helping someone to see something for the first time that they never understood before. We can be a part of that. I hope that you don't want to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want to miss out. Missing out is kind of a rough thing. It's better to enjoy the full benefits of being a Christian. If you're here this morning and you've been missing out and you want to change that, but maybe you've had some things keeping you away, maybe you've had some things that have distracted you or discouraged you, we want to be an encouragement to you. If you're here and you have a need to have the prayers of the church for strength, or if you have a need, maybe you don't even want to come for it, maybe you're just in your heart, we talked this morning about making vows to the Lord. Maybe you just want to make a vow to the Lord. You know, I'm going to start coming to Wednesday night Bible class, or I'm going to start coming to the Sunday morning Bible class. I've been missing out. Or I'm going to come Sunday nights. I've been missing out on that. But if you make that vow, be sure you keep it. We talked about that in class this morning. Ecclesiastes says, it's better not to vow than to make the vow and then break it. But maybe you just want to do that in your own mind to the Lord. But maybe you need encouragement and prayers from the church to make a new step, to make a deeper commitment and dedication to the Lord in some way. Whatever your need may be, please come as we stand and as we sing.